Dear listeners, this podcast is created by the Linguistov team.
Order a free English lesson with us at www.linguistov.ru.
And if you want to share your opinion and ideas regarding our discussions, you can email us at info@linguistov.ru.
To swallow in the sounds of her voice, and she will rock your world.
Oh,
she's
yes.
Our rock and roll queen, Asha.
Woo! Woohoo!
And she still lives in the horror of coming winter. Landish. I didn't have.
Where did this winter mood come from?
Because it's cold. October the 4th is Siri's birthday. And on that day, this year, Siri's US voice actress was revealed. An Atlanta woman who has come forward to CNN as the US voice of Siri, the built-in personal assistant first introduced in the iPhone 4S. Susan Bennett, that's her name, says she first discovered that her voice was being used on Apple smartphones when a friend emailed her and asked if it was her voice on the iPhone commercial. She headed to the Apple website to discover that she had unknowingly provided the voice for the system with samples she recorded in July 2005, a full 6 years before the phone's launch. Bennett says she had no idea that the voice samples would be used by Apple, and that her work also appears on many GPS units and other devices, including the first ATM. So she didn't know that.
Is that the voice we've heard last time?
Yeah, because she was yours was American, and mine, when I open mine right now in on my iPad, it is a British actress.
How did she feel about it? Did she feel proud, or did she feel upset that her voice was used without permission? What was her reaction?
I think that it was used with her permission. It just because it happened 6 years before the launch of the phone.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that she even knew what iPhone was. So
how would you feel if your voice was used in some device?
That would be interesting. I think that they would use my laughter quite a lot. Can you imagine? Yes. You say some stupid jokes.
If you talk to Siri about some philosophical aspects, like where does life come from, and then Landa starts laughing. Just like that, yeah. It's like, oh, come on.
What other languages do they have for Siri? Is it just English?
No, German, Japanese, Chinese.
Mm.
Three types of Chinese.
Mm. French, I guess.
French, a lot of languages. Vietnamese,
mm.
No Russian.
We can actually apply.
That's the problem for the Russian reality, even if you speak English. Because what's the point of Siri if it can't help you with directions or with your address book?
Mm-hmm.
Just talk about life. Because basically you ask Siri, can you please call my friend Veronika?
Mm-hmm.
She won't be able to find it. Or is it better to say it won't be able to find it on your address book, because there is no Veronika, even if you have it in English, you still have to pronounce it.
What did this Siri usually say? I couldn't find...
I found no Veronika.
Yeah, yeah,
your address book.
So that's the point. So if you live in the Russian reality, you have, of course, Russian names on your address book, the Russian streets, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So can you please show me the direction to Dostoyevskogo Street?
Oh!
That's not possible. No way.
Dear
Apple developers, please consider that.
We can be your voice actresses.
Voice actresses, yeah.
That would be fun to have a Siri with laughter.
Yeah, and or a drunk Siri.
Siri on drugs.
Friday night. Siri, can I get the directions to Dostoevskogo Street? Not today.
I'm a little bit busy.
I'm on booze.
Leave me alone.
It's Friday night, man.
What did you expect?
Do you think we, inside your iPhone, don't have Fridays?
You're so insensitive. You don't think about me. It's always you and your requests.
Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends.
What was it? How much can you trust your memory? Not a whole lot, according to Daniela Schiller, a neuroscientist. Researchers now understand that the process of recalling a memory actually changes it. Memory is in an unstable state, rewritten and remodeled every time it is retrieved. We don't really remember the original, we remember the revised version. Every day we create false memories, which means we put way too much faith in memory in the legal system. You can influence eyewitness testimony by just investigating an event, the neuroscientist said. And when you disagree with your spouse about details of an event that happened 10 years ago, you both could be wrong. But there is a positive side to our moldable memories. The memory of traumatic events plague many lives and can even lead to psychiatric illness. The new understanding of memories means that they can be updated. Sheila says that if you block the memory storage process, you might be able to eliminate the memory. Or if you recall a painful memory in a context of positive emotion, the tenor of that negative experience could change. We aren't a slave to our past, said Sheila. If you are stuck with a bad memory, it is just one version. It is not exactly the truth, and you can revise it, she says. So how can we know the reality of a memory? Look to art, said Sheila. Art has a very intimate relationship with memory, she said. The only way to keep memories as they are is to carve them into a story or art form that captures the original emotion.
So I think it's a natural reaction that your memory it transforms with time
mm-hmm.
into something that originally was different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of a mixture of what really happened and your imagination,
mm-hmm.
how you perceived it, and the importance of this event in your life. And I agree that if we talk about bad memories or some tragical events, if these events never transformed and never faded away, then all people would simply go mad.
Yeah, that's true.
After a while. So it's a kind of a protection for our mind.
Do you remember things well? Do you have a good memory?
I have a very good memory when it comes to early childhood memories.
Mm-hmm.
I even have some short fragments after several days I was born. I remember how I was brought home. I remember the baby bouncer we had borrowed from my from the neighbors. So I have a very good memory when it comes to words, voices,
mm-hmm.
but I'm very bad with directions. So you have to show me some building 5 times before I can memorize how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the worst case ever.
What about people, like faces and names?
I can't say that I have bad memory on faces. I think I have my own interpretation of the faces. For example, our mutual friend, we know somebody, you know this person and I know this person. And we've seen her, for example, 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tell you, oh, you remember our mutual friend? She looks very much like Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell me, what?
Exactly. What?
So you told me what? She and Britney Spears, come on. And to me I would remember that, well, yes, she mm-hmm. looks like Britney Spears. So I have my own interpretation of faces.
when I try to recall, you know, a memory about a place, the first thing that I remember is the smell of this place. Does it happen with you, or am I?
I think I have a bad memory on smells. So I think it doesn't. When I'm trying to recall some building or
because if you go to a person's apartment, every apartment has its own smell.
Yes, if we talk about apartments, then yes.
I don't know, but also, for example, recall the memory of of living in the United States, for example, the first thing that comes to my head is, for example, the smell that appears when you open the there are some shelves, and when you open them, there is a specific smell where I couldn't find this smell anywhere else. It's a good smell, but I couldn't find it anywhere here in Russia. Oh, the smell that you get in the bathroom there, for example, on the streets, I remember the smell of the streets of Boston, for example, or when you go out of the subway in Washington DC, there is a specific smell.
Okay, enough. I'm
what
I start worrying about you, because there was a girl who tried smells of bridges, and then she married one of the bridges. So when you started telling me about the streets of Boston, I started worrying about you.
I'm not going to marry the streets of Boston.
Okay. The street. One street.
One street, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that the smells are that significant for me. I think when I think about some buildings, apartments, or places, the first thing that comes to my mind is my mood at that time.
Oh, interesting.
How I was feeling at that particular moment, what a mood I had, you know. Mm. So that's the first thing that comes to my mind, I guess. What things are difficult for you to memorize? I think you're an artist, so you must have a very good memory on every
I have a very good visual memory. I sometimes have problems with names. As you probably know,
I probably don't.
And we have, I have a new student. Whose name is Valeria.
Victoria.
Victoria. What was this? I think that I called her every name that is available in the Russian language that starts with V, and but everything apart from Valeria. So it's kind of tough for me with names. I have a bad memory on numbers. Some historical events. History was for me was a, you know, the most horrible subject because I could never remember the dates.
I have a good memory on numbers. And actually, I'm thinking if it's possible to erase some really useless information.
Do you have a lot of it?
Lots of it. Like, you know, I treat my brain as a hard drive. And most of my hard drive is wasted because I know a lot of songs by heart, even those which I never liked.
Songs is a horrible subject. I could never memorize a song.
I can't get rid of the memorizing.
How can you do that? Because every time, for example, I went to France and Florian said to his grandparents, oh, she's a singer, she can sing. And I tried to recall at least one song that I could sing in Russian or in English.
So now I know why you speak French.
Why?
Because you've had enough space for French. And now I know why you speak German.
You have to erase all the songs.
How? I don't know how to erase them.
I don't know. Select and click.
Are you sure you want to put it to trash? Yes. So I've got lots of songs which I know by heart. And somebody's phrases. Some really useless things that I can't get rid of. It's just stored in my memory for good.
We had a question from the listener.
In Facebook,
yeah. If you could learn one random skill, what would you learn?
You begin.
Drive a plane, fly a plane, you know, to be able to operate
a plane.
A plane.
That's a useless skill.
That's a useless skill, but I would like to...
Because if you don't have a plane...
Don't say that. You don't know.
What's the point of you knowing how to drive, how to control
but
it?
You never know. For example, we travel a lot by planes, but still, what if something happens? But I think that would be very cool, you know, to be able to fly to a plane. I don't know. And I also wanted to be, you know, like a real pilot. I think that you have to train a lot. It's like maybe how many years? Like 7-9 years. But I think that pilots are so cool. It's not, you know, stewardess is not cool. But being a pilot and, you know, to be able to say, like, dear passengers.
Amelia Mary Earhart. You know, the first woman who flew across the Atlantic?
Yes, yes.
Amelia Mary Earhart.
My personal hero.
Yeah, I'd like to play a musical instrument.
Oh, what musical instrument?
Accordion, of course.
Accordion, yes, of course.
According to accordion?
Well, you know, it's a very sexy instrument. And it looks sexy, yeah. And I don't know, the tango.
Well, actually, I don't mind playing some more popular instrument than accordion.
Well, I think that if you start learning one instrument, it kind of, you know, goes...
It's addictive, then.
Yeah, it's like one after another, yeah. Because, I don't know, especially when you're a child and you study in musical school, you learn to play at least like 2 or 3 instruments already. So,
I'd like to play at least one musical instrument. I think it's a useful skill, like when you have visitors.
Mm-hmm. You can entertain them,
yes, with your accordion. Like, you know, there's a superstition in Britain that you should not sing while sitting at a table. It's like, oh wow, in Russian it's a rule to sing when you're when you're on at a table. So you should not sing while eating, something like this, I guess, while having food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a bad thing to do. But and I thought about Russia, it's like, you know, our, how's that, zastolye.
Oh yeah.
It's a part of our culture to sing.
What was it, one of these thing? Was it on Christmas night when you have to throw a boot out from your door onto the street? And
What for?
I think that it shows if someone goes from that direction or appears from that direction, it is either your future husband or something like that.
Maybe. Can you pick it up afterwards?
No, I think that you have to give it to this man.
Oh.
So that, you know,
you have to think about the boots, the shoes that you don't need.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe was it hitting someone on the face? I don't know.
Hitting someone on the face with a boot.
Yeah, and it's like 100%.
Sorry.
100% your man. So
if he doesn't hit you back.
That means that he's very impartial to you, that he, you know, shares the feelings, so...
you can start flirting with him.
I think that's already done. It's like you are officially married.
Yeah, I should try that.
Do we have anything to advertise?
Well, we have finally started our retail...
Impromptu retail store in the UK.
Yes. So if you want to obtain some exclusive t-shirts with a linked list of doodles chosen by you, then you are very welcome to contact us. What else? You can look through the albums. Maybe you'll find something that is useful for you.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in touch. Yeah. Listen to the Linguist of Doodle, Linguist of Podcast. Look through Linguist of Doodles.
Mm-hmm.
Read our articles. Attend our seminars and English club.
Yeah.
What else? And
Write to us.
Yes, and you'll be happy.
Yeah.
This is the best superstition ever.
I like it. We'll
Lots of books and discussions at www.lingvistov.ru.